Okay, there we go, everyone. Good morning. That got stuck there for some reason for a brief moment. Good morning. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan session, which is our opportunity, of course, to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. Now, we had a significant amount of volatility yesterday. We've been saying for quite some time now that when the market starts to realize what's happening to these figures, it will react in a significantly negative manner. And yesterday we had the situation where we had some good news coming out of the US and a negative market reaction. And as far as we're concerned, it's a very, very logical move. That's not, you know, we're hearing all sorts of reports about all sorts of strange aspects. You know, it's this sell-off yesterday is driven by stagflation and things like that. And we'll explain to you why we don't think that's the case. And what really is the problem and what is the driving force behind that shift in dynamics and momentum which we've been talking about for a little while now. So there's probably yesterday you could probably say there's actually a bit of a realization. You could say we've experienced that when Jerome Powell changed his view on his very dovish view. If you remember the FOMC before Christmas, we had a dovishly hawkish statement. So we had a dovish statement in terms of the interest rates coming down, but we had a hawkish view in terms of what they then went on and said, you know, we'll have to manage the situation. We're concerned about inflation. You know, the markets interpreted that as well. We may need to keep interest rates higher for longer, and that's the problem. So without further ado, let's we'll explain it in a little bit more detail. If we can start, of course, with our risk warning currently up on screen. It's always worthwhile not just knowing what's happening, but also why these things are happening. And we've got a strong view on this. The question really is, are we going to get further continuation today? We anticipate we probably will, but we should not preempt necessarily and wait for the opportunity. Okay, so in terms of a quick introduction then, guys, good morning, everyone, by the way. I hope you're all keeping well. All profitable traders need to consider what markets to trade. Where do we then want to enter and exit these markets? So what levels are we looking at? How do we manage risk? How much capital do we allocate to each trade? And then once the trade, let's say if it moves in your favor, what decisions can you make in order to mitigate risk, to book in profit and things of that nature, along with trade psychology? All very, very important features, of course. And just to let you know, that's the theory behind trading. But we address these considerations every day in a very practical sense in our live trade rooms. And we are strong advocates of maintaining a high degree of consistency in our approach, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course, be patient as well. So let's start then with a review of potential market moving news. So this is that news event yesterday, which we were sort of mindful of and said, look, it's really worth keeping an eye on this particular event. Now, we weren't really expecting numbers like what we've seen. So, and just as a little bit of a heads up, earlier in the day, yesterday, we had some European inflation numbers, and the core CPI is still above target. So we're targets around 2%, and we've been sitting at 2.7 previously. The forecast was no real change, and that's exactly what we got. But look what's happening with the CPI flash estimates, which is the headline CPI number across the Eurozone year on year. Well, it's actually bouncing higher, and if you look at we've actually bounced off the 1.8 and now we're up at 2.4, so we've seen a 60 basis point rise in inflation for the Eurozone. That's not that insignificant because the Eurozone is not performing particularly well. So you have, I suppose, more of a stagflation environment in Europe where you've got really limited growth and increasing inflation. So the Eurozone is stagflating. Now, where we would differ is with the US, and the simple reason is stagflation is higher inflation, lower growth. Now, we've got pretty strong growth in the US, so that's why we're not leaning towards the stagflation argument, although there is cases to suggest that if demand and growth falls off a cliff, We're not saying it will do, but if it does, then that is a bit more of a stagflation type environment with raising interest rates. So what did we get then? Well, ISM services PMI numbers. So we're seeing considerable growth. Previously 52.1. The actual number this time around is 54.1. So really strong services in the US, as there is across the Eurozone as well. Services sectors has been growing and doing really, really well. It's the manufacturing sector that's been struggling, not so much in the US, but elsewhere. And this job opening numbers. So how many jobs are available in the US? Well, we're expecting 7.73 million jobs to be available, which is still pretty high. It's still a really, really strong jobs number. Anything around these lows still represent historical highs. So in terms of the number of jobs available, of course, for the unemployment numbers in the US to remain very, very low, you need an awful lot of jobs available. It gives workers a choice, really, in many ways. So to see this uptick considerably higher than expected, it just implies that the US economy is actually still a lot stronger than most people expect. So you build that particular dynamic that the US economy is actually performing pretty well. We're seeing small signs of increased inflation, which is a bit of a concern because we're entering a period now for the US, which could be a bit of a game changer with the policies that Donald Trump wants to pursue. He wants to stop illegal immigration. Obviously a noble thing to try to achieve, but it is inflationary in nature because illegal information has this ability to bring down wage costs. So if we're getting Americans and legal immigration to actually fill those roles, you're paying them more in salaries. So it was a release valve for the US government over the last couple of years, the immigration policy that they pursued. So Trump's putting an end to that. And then tax cuts, of course, that's inflationary as well. If corporates and individuals are paying less tax, then they have more money to spend in the real economy. Again, that's a noble pursuit. The problem is it's very inflationary. And then the last one is tariffs. Of course, they're literally pushing up prices 20%, 10%, 25%, Canada, Mexico. So they're literally pushing prices up, which is in itself inflationary. So wherever you look, there's really significant concerns around inflation. Now, again, there's a lot of commentary out there, but saying like, well, Trump really doesn't mean that. He's not really going to go and do these things. But, you know, Trump is a law unto himself, as we all know. We've experienced it for 4 years already. And then you mix in what's going on with these bond yields, and they are rallying. We're now pretty much at the highs of 2024. Oh, sorry, if I zoom out a little bit. At the end of 2023, was up around the 5% mark, and it looks for all intents and purposes, and this is the realization. Actually, this inflation dynamic could be a bit of a problem for the Fed, and ultimately means that the Fed can't really cut rates like they would like to. This is suggesting that this is the reaction when the Fed cut 50 basis points. It rallied aggressively, and I suppose there was a sudden attitude that, okay, well, we will come back down to these lows, and we never have done. So we've just been accelerating. Now we've got Trump coming in. There's only more inflation. That's a bigger risk for markets, and bond yields are rallying. So again, that dollar trade is still intact. There's no reason why it won't be. And there's a strong differential now between the 2 and the 10-year. If I just put that number up here, you know, 4.28. So we're not making new highs just yet. We're quite a significant way off the highs. So it's the longer end. That's the bigger concern. But the Fed are taking note. They kept saying, and Jerome Powell and was often grilled about, you know, is the Fed taking note of what's going on in these bond markets? And they've often referenced, well, we don't really take, you know, a few months of data into consideration. It's really about the direction over a longer period of time. Well, now we're coming to a longer period of time. We're coming to, you know, close to the 6 month mark. If this was in September, so September, October, November, December, January, February, you know, February will be 6 months. And that is a different dynamic. You know, we were looking initially at interest rates about around 3.7 at the lows, 3.6. And now we're up at 4.6 with the actual, the Fed interest rate. So this is like the free market interest rate, and we're actually exceeding the Fed, which is 4.5. So it just suggests that the Fed are maybe getting it a little bit wrong, and they would need to be really concerned about lowering rates and encouraging. Again, that's a very inflationary factor. So although, just to summarize, although there is significant disinflation still in the pipeline for the US economy, we've got a lot of elements which are quite inflationary. And what we're asking is, at what point will the markets react to these dynamics beginning to play out? And I suggest there was probably two major events where that dynamic played out. And we can actually see it even here on the on this chart currently up on screen. This is the S&P 500. So what we're doing is we're going back to this candlestick here, which is the 18th of December. So why is that so important? It's that move that we've seen in a relatively short period of time due to this dovishly hawkish narrative. Now, this is that second, let's say, you could argue it's that second dynamic which is of real importance to these markets, where they're beginning to, so we got positive news for the US economy, that's beginning to turn into a negative market dynamic. So we're seeing the excessive selling. Now the question is, will we get further selling down to these levels? You know, will we see this type of move? So we've got to take profit down at these lower levels, and right now our expectation is that we will get sort of further downside to these lows. So worth considering, and what we'll be watching for. We've already began to roll over, but will we get, you know, something like this? So that's really what we're looking at for now. If these markets break out below these levels and we start to rally down to these levels down here, and we start to break out, that's a bit of a game changer for financial markets. That is when potentially, if we look at it on the daily time frame, we could have a significant shift in this upward only market dynamic, where you got buyers buying the dips all the time, to a market dynamic where, you know, these sellers are beginning to run for the exits. And that's the shift in supply demand dynamics, which we're watching very, very carefully from. And if this slips lower, it'll slip lower very, very quickly. So between these two narratives and two dynamics, there's likely to be significant opportunity here. And the next one is the rollover we saw yesterday in the euro dollar. We're looking for further continuation today, and it looks like we're on the verge of getting it. Sell trade in the... So let's take a note of these numbers, because we've been watching these very, very carefully. So below the 103.40 for the euro dollar, to the downside, the pound dollar, we get these numbers in play, is the 124.75. Let's have a look at the elsewhere. There's opportunities for the dollar to strengthen. So we'd be worried a little bit about intervention from the BOJ. So as this rallies, you might run into some strong resistance. So there's probably better opportunities elsewhere. And yeah, the Aussie dollar, New Zealand dollar, So we're really looking and focusing a little bit more on the euro dollar and the pound dollar as a result. And a bit of hesitation for the yen, worth watching, but nothing really to act upon right now. We've got dwindling supplies. So we're seeing a bit of an uptick yesterday, not really ultimately that surprised, but we've got a narrowing of price action with a lot of resistance at slightly higher prices. So we will be monitoring and watching crude oil very, very carefully. Gold, as you can see, there's a narrowing here, which we are very mindful of. So you can see how these, so yes, we probably get a bit of an upside. We'd be looking sort of at that type of dynamic moving forward. So we've got the euro dollar and the pound dollar, which again is what we were focusing our attention on yesterday. And this brings us on to the indice markets. Are we going to get continuation off yesterday's bearish move? We anticipate that we will. Now, we might need to be quite patient, and we've got our take profit down at just slightly lower levels, but we're sort of halfway there, so to speak. And will we get continuation? We might need to be patient over the course of the trading day, but we anticipate we probably will. There is strong support with the 50-period moving average for the NASDAQ, but yeah, we're going to see hopefully continuation there. Bit of consolidation, but a bearish move in Dow Jones as well. And then we've got all these markets. The Nikkei rallying, well, not necessarily rallying, but we're in a bit of a sideways pattern for the Nikkei. The Dow Jones, the DAX, very close to all-time highs yesterday, a really strong rally. Will these European markets begin to kind of price in some of this nervousness? We'll have to wait and see. So what we have here for our trade plan then, and we'll let you go. We'll switch rooms now very, very shortly. So our market summary. To us, relatively straightforward. We're really looking to see if we're going to get some continuation. So instead of a mixed market dynamic, what we're looking at now is a risk-off market dynamic. So is there an appetite for risk? Well, yesterday the answer was no, and we're looking for that to continue again today. So we were talking yesterday an awful lot about the potential for the US dollar strength post this current pullback, which is effectively what happened. And we were looking for potential US indice weakness on a short-term basis. So we have our take profits down at those lower levels. So we're actually keeping, so really we're looking at further US indice weakness. What we'll do is we'll, regarding the dollar strength trade after that pullback yesterday, we've got the euro dollar sell below the 103.40. We're already in the trade. We're already in the S&P as well to the downside. And we can add the pound. So we're being really still quite selective very early in the trading year. The 124.75. So those are the numbers of importance. And then, you know, we can add the US weakness in the indices because it's a part of the whole risk-off market dynamic that we keep talking about. And there's a bit of a realization in these markets that actually this is not really a good dynamic for stocks. So yesterday we saw some selling and across the board really as well in many ways. We'll have a look at things in a bit more detail this morning during the European mentorship room. So if you could join us for that, fantastic. So keep options open as markets get back to normal. We can expect volatility, of course. However, that's our trade plan, which we're relatively comfortable with. We could have things like crude oil, but we kind of want a better dynamic for that. So look, I posted the trade plan there into the chat box for you, so you can take that away if you need. And in terms of these narratives, we're really talking about a bit more of a hawkish Fed now narrative playing out, this higher rate for longer with squeezing inflation and what that could lead to. you know, we could have this recessionary dynamic coming to the fore. So really, we're talking about risk off, indices lower, dollar higher, bond yields continuing to rally, which they are, and a bit of a question mark over commodities, I think is probably fair. Okay, so on that note, guys, we'll let you go. Thanks very much for joining us. If you want to join us for the European trading session, you're very welcome to do so, and we shall speak to you very, very soon. So from everyone here, take care, and we'll speak soon. My pleasure, guys. Bye for now.